America's favorite place to watch football is Stadium Swim, located at Circa Resort and Casino in Las Vegas. Catch all the biggest games at a viewing experience built for sports fans. Chill in one of their six pools on three different levels for a perfect view of their massive screen. Plenty of seating options from cozy daybeds to private, temperature-controlled cabanas. Stadium Swim. Book your spot today at CircaLasVegas.com.
This show is brought to you by 5-Hour Energy. Being a fan is a hands-on job, which is why we're freeing up your hands for cheering, jeering, and everything in between. With 5-Hour Energy Fan E-Pack, you'll be fully equipped to hit the tailgate with all the energy you and your fellow diehards need for rooting on the home team. No matter what, just take a shot past the rest to your entire squad and keep the good times rolling. Now available on 5hourenergy.com with the purchase of Stan the Fan 5-Hour Energy. Shipped nationwide.
This podcast is brought to you by Men's Tee Clinic. Men's Tee Clinic is the team I trust with my total wellness optimization, and so should you. Five DFW locations with North Frisco, El Dorado Parkway at Dallas North Tollway now open. Call 972-GO-MEN'S-TEE or visit mensteeclinic.com.
Here we go, hour three of the G-Back Nation here on 105.3 The Fan. Hope you're having a nice little election, Toxic Tuesday. We got Top 10 coming up in 20 minutes, then Mark Schlereth will join us at 4:40. We'll have our weekly conversation with Stink, see what he has to say about these NFL storylines. Time now, though, for the Chief to take a sports hodgepodge, Eric.
Yes, sir. Okay, we'll get to the funniest thing of the sports tonight. We'll also get to the new sweatiest coach in America. Sorry, Bruce Pearl. Sorry, Sean Miller. There's a new sheriff in town. Sweaty as ever. But we do need to honor SMU. Did you guys see what Nick Saban said about your quarterback? Pretty cool. SMU coming in number 13 in the AP poll. We'll see what the College Football Playoff has in store for tonight. SMU highest ranking since 1985 during college game day in lead up to the matchup versus Pitt, where SMU completely dominated them. This was Nick Saban talking about SMU quarterback Kevin Jennings.
Well, I think they're going to get challenged today because SMU's quarterback, Kevin Jennings, may be the most underrated player in the country. This guy leads the ACC in passing efficiency. All these good quarterbacks we talk about in the ACC, he's been the most productive, and he's a dual threat guy, and he can beat you run and pass.
How about South Oak Cliff Golden Bear, baby. Let's go.
Local legend getting it done. And then he goes out and throws for 300 yards and two touchdowns. And has himself a nice afternoon there as SMU wins 48-25, and that's a wonderful thing. Love to see it, and looking forward to the College Football Playoff announcement coming up a little bit later tonight as that conversation starts to get rolling here a little bit. Things are so bad in Wolchuk's Nebraska that former Houston and West Virginia head coach Dana Holgorsen is joining the Nebraska staff as an offensive consultant.
They need help.
Thought he was at TCU already.
Well, he's leaving. He's going. He's just hopping around wherever he can consult. And this is a good move for the Huskers. They need all the help they can get over there.
Yes, wow. Yes. Here was Matt Rhule when asked about the issues with his offense.
From your perspective, what do you feel like is not working with the offense?
It's a great question.
that's pretty much all you need to hear from that.
Yeah.
What's wrong with your offense? Deep sigh. Great question. Nervous laughter. It's a disaster. Now, remember, that's the offense who the coordinator was asked about yards per play, and he didn't know that was a stat.
What's good? 4-6?
That was a couple,
kind of what we're going
couple
for
of weeks ago.
Here.
It is, it's as bad as ever. It really is. Almost as bad in Nebraska as it is in Auburn right now. Vanderbilt beats Auburn. And
it's no shame getting beat by Vanderbilt this year.
There's, no, you're right.
There's no shame. But, I mean, Vanderbilt traditionally not an SEC power.
Yes.
This year, they really do believe that they're – I'm terrified LSU has to play them this year.
It's the first time anybody said that.
No, I'm serious.
They're a tough out.
They have found ways to win these games. And so, yeah, this is – Auburn is not a good football team right now. There's no question about
that's
that.
That's for sure.
Yeah, there's no question.
That's about your sports fact of the day here in the G-Bag Nation.
That's my sports fact of the day. shame losing to Vanderbilt this year.
Yeah.
I'd say this year.
And for Hugh Freeze, how funny is this? One of the biggest laughing stocks in all of college football.
Yeah.
Diego Pavia, the quarterback for Vanderbilt.
Yeah.
he has now beat Hugh Freeze teams in three different matchups over three straight seasons. Because you had Diego Pavia was the quarterback for New Mexico State. They beat Liberty when Hugh Freeze was the head coach. Then the next year, New Mexico State beats Auburn when Hugh Freeze was the head coach. And then this year, Diego Pavia is now the quarterback for Vandy, and Vandy beats Auburn. So totally just living rent-free in the brain of Hugh Freeze is Diego Pavia. And also, one of the fallouts from this was the screenshot from the Vanderbilt linebacker.
Oh,
Brian Longwell. Did you see it?
No, but I did see the fight that almost took place. Maybe this is why.
Yes. Well, no, the fight that took place was, I guess, just, you know, Auburn players were upset that Vanderbilt was partying.
Pavio was like talking about how he owns Hugh Freeze. Like, that's three in a row. And Freeze afterwards would say, like, I want nothing to do with this guy anymore. Yes, please let him leave. I don't want to play him again.
Well, Vanderbilt linebacker Brian Longwell screenshotted a text exchange that he apparently had from an Auburn coach.
Oh.
And it's from December 25th of 2022. This is Christmas Day.
Okay.
And it reads, Brian, I'm sorry, buddy.
Oh, I've seen this.
We're not going to sign a high school linebacker in this class, more than likely. You're a great player with a bright future. Hope you and yours have a Merry Christmas. So,
kind of a jerk move on Christmas.
By way of Merry Christmas, he sends him the thanks but no thanks for your football services. But don't worry, Brian. In a couple of years, you're going to come into our house and you're going to kick our tails.
Yeah.
And so it was a beautiful full circle moment. Hey, tonight we got some action, and I just want to acknowledge, I've never heard of this guy until today, but apparently he is College Football 25 NCAA EA Sports highest overall rated tight end in all of college football, and his name is Harold Fannin Jr. He's the highest rated tight end. He's a Maxion monster, and his numbers are crazy. I don't know what his NFL potential is. I cannot wait for you guys to have this guy on the film and get y'all scouting report. But he's number one amongst tight ends in receptions, receiving yards, touchdowns, yards after catch, broken tackles. This feels like a guy who should be playing in the SEC, and he's playing on Tuesday nights, and he's just completely, it's like Cam Newton at Blinn College, just not fair to the opponent, completely outmatched in every way. That's what it feels like this Harold Fannin Jr. is. He looks like a professional playing against high school kids.
Can I get a real quick, you said the Maxion.
Yeah.
Can I get a real quick vote? Better nickname for a conference, the Maxion or the Fun Belt?
Wow. Both great.
That's a brain buster, dude.
I think I'm just going to lean Maxion.
The Maxion, huh?
Yeah.
I think the Fun Belt nickname.
Fun Belt is great.
Yeah.
I mean, both this good. Is a 1A, 1B situation.
Yeah.
It's really strong.
I kind of feel like that. We used to call the Mac, we used to call it the Bus League.
The Bus League?
The Bus League.
The Jerome Bettis League?
Yeah, the bus, no, because you drove to all the games.
Couldn't pay.
You kind of just drove around.
It's like you're in the minors.
You're in the bus league,
You're in Triple A or whatever.
League, yeah,
it's tough. Well, let's go ahead and...
It is tough.
Let's relive. I get bus sick, dude. I wouldn't even be able to do it.
I'd
be like,
saying.
Sorry, guys.
I feel bad.
I need a pregame Dramamine, all right? Yeah. Now, here is the clip, and I don't know if I was able to get the video over to Carter quickly enough, but we do have the sound. Last night, we welcomed back college basketball, and I have no idea why Baylor lost as bad as they did to Gonzaga when Baylor's the eighth-ranked team in the country
Mark Few, man. What are you talking about over there, bro?
Yes, Mark Few. I'm glad you brought him up. Did you see what happened to him last night?
Is he sweat? He's not a sweaty-up guy,
no,
is he?
No. We'll get to Doug Gottlieb here in a second, Broadus. But we had a beautiful father-son moment. Mark Few, head coach of Gonzaga. He put his son in to help Gonzaga at the end of the game. This is garbage time. This is under 2 minutes left in the game, and it's literally Gonzaga 93, Baylor 57. This is ultimate garbage time. Mark Few's son, who doesn't deserve to be on the roster, sits at the end of the bench, and now here we go, Nepo baby, make a wish style. Go have some fun, run around with the big boys. Listen to this play-by-play. It ends in Joe Few, the son who doesn't belong on the court of Mark Few, getting posterized in a way that only Vince Carter could seem like he could pull off. Take it away, ESPN play-by-play.
Might blow the roof off this place if Joe Few scores. And a steal for Josh Ojanwana.
Oh, gosh.
Oh, my goodness. That's dagger Joe Few.
Poor guy gets in the game. Welcome to the game, Joe. Welcome to the game.
What did he think he was going to do?
Holy jeez, oh, that was violent.
Joe tried.
He did.
Joe tried. Oh, he did. No. It's the saddest highlight ever. It really is. The fact that the play-by-play guys are chalking it up to, well, he tried. You understand the context of the situation here. Joe Few having no business being on the court there with the athletic freaks that are on that Baylor basketball team. But listen to just the very beginning of this, Lucius, if you don't mind. Listen to him set up. The play-by-play guy is saying, like, this place is going to erupt if Joe Few, you know, the make-a-wish guy, makes a shot.
Might blow the roof off this place if Joe Few scores. And a steal for Josh Ojanwana. VJ Edgecombe, my goodness.
Blew the roof off in a different way.
Oh, my gosh.
I mean, that sounded so bad.
That was so bad. It was, I mean, that is a poster that'll live on forever. The different angles of it, the still shots, they are as funny as anything you'll ever see in sports. He goes 2 minutes, 0 points, and one facial there for Joe Few. He's 6 feet tall. He's 170. And
destined to be a coach one day.
He is.
That's like me when I'm super skinny. Yeah. And I'm at 206 right now as the weight loss competition gets underway.
Oh, 206. Man, I thought you were going to order pizza here in a little bit.
Not till after Thanksgiving.
Oh, just a full-fledged baptizing last night. And that's the story. As Gonzaga wins by 40, it doesn't matter because the son of the coach got posterized in a very, very disrespectful manner.
It's take your kid to work season, apparently.
Yeah, dude, I guess that's exactly what it is. That was just, it was wonderful the way it all played out. I feel for the kid, but gosh dang it, that was funny. Okay, and just get out of the way. You know, like, that's
don't,
a thing.
Don't let that,
like,
happen to yourself.
Joe.
It's one thing if you can't physically do it, but clearly you're not mentally aware either. Like, what was getting set up? You should have looked to the side and been like, oh, dear Lord.
I got to try.
Either one of those dudes could have got you. You know?
Charge. I'm going for the charge.
You're out there looking like a cheeseburger.
Did anybody come off the bench and try and help him? I mean, defend him?
No, everybody was like looking away.
Oh,
like,
were they?
Everybody was just covering their eyes like they had just witnessed a homicide. Like, oh no, I'm going to have to be a witness for this. So here's Carter, if you don't mind, you can go ahead and throw up the Doug Gottlieb from last night.
That's a Muay Thai move where you drive your knee into a dude's chest, really, right? Bad. Oh my goodness. Like, usually people are overreacting, like, is he okay? But seriously, this one, is dude okay? Does he have bruised ribs today?
People started yelling, world star. It was just a moment last night.
It really was a moment last night.
Jeez.
Now, elsewhere in college basketball, I want to acknowledge the awesomeness of Cooper Flagg, but I can't because the sweatiness of Doug Gottlieb just, it won't leave my mind, and we have to discuss this for a second.
I'm so happy this is happening.
Doug Gottlieb, who, of course, has been more so known as a media member at this point, covering basketball at every level for many, many years, has now entered the sidelines as the head coach of the Green Bay basketball team.
Yeah.
And he had his first outing yesterday. He went back to Stillwater to take on Oklahoma State. And this dude just looked like he was in absolute hell. I don't know if the AC wasn't working or if this was nervous sweats or if this is just who he's always been. But look at the drenched shirt on him. It's not just the armpits, okay? It is the chest, the belly. You know, it's gut sweat. It's back sweat, Walchuk, which...
is he wearing a three-quarter zip, or what's he got?
No, he's wearing a white button-down.
He's just wearing... It's like a light blue one. Like
a tie?
A light blue one, yeah, and a green tie. And he's gone jacket off here, okay. And clearly should have gone jacket on, mm-hmm. because the sweaty shirt that he had... It looks
no
like he just jumped in a
underneath?
Pool.
No t-shirt?
It doesn't look like he's got any tie. If he does, then that's even worse.
Well. Wow.
Because he's drenched. And I don't know if that's just because of nerves or stress or what, but we've seen this with guys like Bruce Pearl in the past. Sean
Bruce
Miller.
Pearl will go through a suit. He will sweat through a suit.
Oh, yeah.
So will Sean Miller.
Mm. Yeah.
Sean Miller will sweat
now
through
a suit.
Now here's
another one.
Yeah.
Doug Gottlieb.
I tell you what, the coach that I really had some respect for last night was Coach Holloway from Seton Hall. Mm. They get a victory, and then in the postgame presser, his left wrist was wrapped, kind of like Walchuk's is right now. And
bowling.
He says I think I broke my wrist at halftime. They asked him how, and his response was coaching stuff.
Yeah, he hit
just
a board.
Got angry.
Bet you hit a board.
Punched something.
Hit a board.
Yeah.
Hit a whiteboard.
Is that a white?
Yeah,
well, I'm trying
that's
to
not
think.
A whiteboard.
That's a slam down on like a bench or something.
Granite countertop.
I think it's a straight.
A wall punch, perhaps.
Straight
hit
punch.
A stud.
I think he straight punched a whiteboard. That's, I mean,
a
it
whiteboard.
Just,
wouldn't the whiteboard like twirl or
no,
break?
No,
maybe he's
one,
got weak wrists.
One,
oh,
big,
that's fixed
the,
on the wall?
No, the one's on wheels. That you can
right, but that one would tip.
I think he went straight. I think he.
Huh.
I think he caught a thick one. Yeah.
Oh.
You mean, what do you mean by that?
Well, you were talking about jacket on.
It's a whole different kind
I
of
know. It was clearly a situation where he should have thrown jarring. That jacket back on his body. But that was just a rookie mistake from the first-year head coach, right. Doug Gottlieb.
Brilliant, Chief. Thank you so much. There it is, a sports hodgepodge here for
he
you on
caught a thick one.
An election toxic Tuesday. Here it's...
Ooh,
top 10 at 420 coming up next. Well, Chuck, what do we have? Top 10 presidents?
No, not presidents. We'll do the 10 worst trades in the history of the National Football League. Maybe today's is on there.
America's favorite place to watch football is Stadium Swim, located at Circa Resort and Casino in Las Vegas. Catch all the biggest games at a viewing experience built for sports fans. Chill in one of their six pools on three different levels for a perfect view of their massive screen. Plenty of seating options from cozy day beds to private, temperature-controlled cabanas. Stadium Swim. Book your spot today at CircaLasVegas.com.
Money Movers provides investors with real-time analysis of the stories and the people attracting the attention of markets each day. I'm Carl Quintanilla.
And I'm Sarah Eisen. We'll cover the breaking news and numbers driving stocks and sectors, helping you make critical decisions. Plus, we'll speak with the CEOs, newsmakers, and political leaders playing a role in how your money is moving.
Listen to CNBC's Money Movers free on the Odyssey app.
Getting help for mental health shouldn't be as hard as it is. Mindful Therapy Group is here to make your mental health journey as painless as possible. Mindful partners with thousands of licensed clinicians to find the perfect fit for you. And also accepts insurance. Visit MindfulTherapyGroup.com.
Presented by T-Mobile, the official wireless partner of Odyssey Sports. With an awesome network and great savings, there's never been a better time to join T-Mobile. Visit your neighborhood store to make the switch today.
Did you know that VA New England Healthcare provides the very best medical care for our nation's heroes? Did you or a loved one serve this great country? You might be eligible for free healthcare. Find out right now by calling 844-VA-CARES. That's 844-VA-CARES. Or visit the VA website at vacares.us. Look, if you or a loved one served this country, get the healthcare you earned and deserve.
That's next.
Welcome back, G-Bag Nation. Hope you're having a good one. It looks like we're going to start to get some results from Georgia and Florida by about 6 o'clock Texas time. So we're about 95 minutes away from that, G-Bag Nation. Hope you're having a good one. It's the top 10 at 420 with Wolchuk. Segment here is brought to you by Cars for Kids. Donate today, carsforkids.org. It's brought to you by the Frankels. Life is unpredictable. Accidents happen. If you or a loved one is injured in a car or truck wreck due to somebody's negligence, call the Frankels. Get a free consultation, 214 or 817-333-3333. Jump online to frankelfirm.com. Here he is, Zach with an H, your Woolly Bully.
Well, the NFL trade deadline has come and gone today, and we've got the top 10 worst trades in NFL history. What do you think are the worst? 877-881-1053.
Can I go on record here?
Yeah.
Are you going to have to do a Keith Jackson imitation?
Yeah, there will be one.
Okay.
There will be one. There absolutely will be.
Very you can just quickly. Call him BF if you want.
Just BF?
Yeah.
I can do that if you want. I can go BF on him. For Brett? That sounded weird. Let's just dump that one for me, Lucius, if you don't mind. That was awkward, and I feel embarrassed and uncomfortable now. Can we just go to baseball real quick here on your home of the Rangers? Rangers have hired Skip Schumacher as a senior
Congrats.
Advisor to President of Baseball Operations, Chris Young, and are expected to finalize a deal with Schumacher's former bench coach with the Marlins as well to join the Rangers coaching staff. So he was the skipper of Miami. And I love the way that he handled the Ohtani deal when he was like, it's bad for baseball. I'm not going to walk Ohtani.
I'm not going to walk him.
I'm
let
pitching
him.
Hit,
him.
Let I love the way that he did that.
Yeah.
Jim Bowden, though, of CBS Sports is saying he might be setting himself up in line to end up being the next manager of the Rangers, potentially. Like, if Bruce Bochy does decide this is my last year, maybe they just turn to Skip and say, all right, you're going to be the Skip.
Like it.
There you go, Skip.
You go, Skip. All right, let's get to it. Worst trades in NFL history. And I'll just say number 10 to get it out of the way here, Brian.
Yeah.
You can tell us and we can go around the horn if there's any other trades that you think are worse or which is your worst. But Falcons trading Brett to the Packers.
This was a bad trade for them.
Yeah. Second round pick by the Falcons in 91 was Brett, but never saw the field. So they end up trading him to Green
Bay.
They had
like Chris Chandler in there or something?
For a first round pick.
Jim Miller. Not Jim Miller. What's a
Chris
Miller?
Chris Miller.
Chris Miller. Yeah, excuse me. Yeah.
And
we,
I guess
we got it together.
With that draft pick, Atlanta ended up taking running back Tony Smith.
Another Southern Miss kid.
In 3 years, ran for 329 yards and two touchdowns.
Bad trade.
Meanwhile, Favre goes on.
Cowboys would give a four for that.
Yeah, they would have. a Hall of Fame career. Did old Brett. That was a pretty bad one.
Yeah. Kind of BF'd Atlanta on that one.
Pretty bad, yeah.
Well, the same general manager also got rid of Deion Sanders.
Jerry Glanville?
Wow. No, Ken Harrock. I asked Harrock one day, I go, hey, what was it like to get rid of two Hall of Fame players? You know?
He goes, yeah, okay.
You're fired, Brian.
Yeah, he goes, oh, yeah, smart ass.
You blame yourself, dude.
And I'm like, no, I'm seriously. I just kind of wondered where. What was it like? What was it like to get rid of two Hall of Fame players in your career?
Now, when you said that to him, were you talking to him like you talked to Chief yesterday?
Oh, I was saying,
kind of pointing the finger.
Yeah, I was. I stood up.
Standing over him. Emasculating him in front of everybody. Yeah. When we talk about Hall of Fame players, you can go in that room over there.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Just shut your ass up over there.
Get out of here. Get out of here.
Go sit over there in timeout. You can come back in when the segment's over, all right?
Yeah.
Talking about other things. The Texans, honorable mention here, acquiring David Johnson for DeAndre Hopkins.
Oops.
Oh. That was a Bill O'Butchin special.
Yeah, that was either Bill O'Butchin.
Oh, man, that was brutal. Bill O'Brien gets Johnson, a second-round pick, and swapped fourth-rounders for Hopkins and a fourth-round pick.
I'll tell you what, I'm surprised that Favre trade didn't go higher.
You think? Okay. Well, we'll get to the ones that are ahead of it.
Yeah.
Gosh dang it, dude. We were crushing it.
I was just looking for clarification. He threw a curveball in the mix there.
Is there another Favre?
There's a long lineage.
Yeah, in the NFL?
Daughter playing volleyball.
Gosh.
Yeah, there's that volleyball.
We're not talking
deal.
Top 10 worst volleyball trades, damn it.
Mama gave me 8 of them flapjacks, and Mama take away 5 of them flapjacks. I want to stay hungry for the Crimson Tide.
The Kelvin Benjamin for 2 draft picks is an honorable mention.
Gosh, 2 draft picks?
What the hell are you doing here? Panthers, that was another one. Panthers fleeced the Bills on that one. They sold high on Benjamin, and he ended up having 217 yards in 6 games and was released after 12 games the following year. That is brutal right there. Absolutely terrible.
Wasn't he a large man?
He was a beast.
Yes, he was a large
like
man.
Like a tight end.
No, he tried to play tight end at the end of the career.
I think he stuck around. And then a few years later, I think he tried to play tackle. He just kept. He was just getting larger and larger.
I think he just
moving to different rooms
from
in the facility.
7 to 77.
He popped back up because he's trying to get in the NBA now. That's his new thing, or just professional basketball.
Unreal.
Yeah, his big baby.
Maybe go play with the Guangdong Tigers or something.
Yeah. Yeah, go be teammates with Pat Bev.
Cowboys Roy Williams trade is honorable mention.
That's a 1, 3, and 5, wasn't it?
6, yeah. 1st, 3rd, and 6.
Oh,
and I did have on social media the Galloway trade, 2 1s.
Yeah, that was terrible.
That was another one that was pretty damn awful.
It's bad. Sorry about
Cowboys
that,
Cowboys love trading for wide receivers.
Sorry
that's their
that.
Thing, man.
Mm-hmm.
That is their thing. Number 9 on worst trades in NFL history, Colts trading Marshall Faulk.
Oh, to the Rammets.
Yeah, Rams get Faulk, and the Colts got a second-round pick in the 99 draft, which they used to take Mike Peterson, and then a 5th-round pick, which they used to take Brad Scioli, the defensive lineman.
Yeah.
And I don't think
Penn State?
I guess.
Brad Scioli?
Definitely.
I trust it. Sounds like a Penn Jersey. State Nittany Lion guy.
Yeah.
But
Faulk was unbelievable, though. I mean,
so
you talk about the rare running back who would be worth the number one overall pick.
I remember going to the game when it was the first year of 98 when Peyton Manning and Ryan Leaf went at it. And that year, man, Marshall Faulk must have caught 1 million balls. I swear. So, I mean, that's all Peyton Manning did was throw the ball to him. I'm like, this guy's incredible.
Brady showing turf.
Moved on from him.
But then a few years later, the Colts ended up sort of exercising their running back trade demons by giving up a first round pick for Trent Richardson.
Trent Richardson.
Yeah, they made it right.
Yeah, that one was also
Michael Lombardi was part of that one.
Was he?
Lombardi.
We got to bust his chops.
No. Lombardi traded him to the Colts.
Oh, he was. Yeah, Lombardi was with the Browns. Oh,
yeah.
Lombardi was part of, I guess, drafting Trent Richardson, which was also a disaster.
Man. Yeah.
What did they take, though? Tim Couch?
That rookie season was great, but I don't know what happened to that guy. Ugh. That was like, boom, fell off a cliff.
Mike needed me to help him.
Like, all of a sudden, this guy just can't play football.
He's the all-time, like there's memes of him with still shots of the biggest hole opening up on the offensive line that you've ever seen.
Darkness.
And him running into the back of
somebody. So bad. Chargers trading up to draft Ryan Leaf, number 8.
That was Bobby Bethard.
Gave up a lot, too, with Arizona.
Arizona drafted Wadsworth, I think.
Holy moly. Yeah. They ended up getting Eric Metcalf in the deal, yeah. Patrick Sapp, a linebacker.
Every time Broadus brings up these names, I feel like he's making them up. What was the last name you just said?
Bobby Bethard?
No, there was another one after
there
that.
There was a Wadsworth?
Wadsworth. You said Wadsworth. Andre Wadsworth. Yeah,
you're
Wadsworth.
Just making crap up.
Florida State.
He was their third son here. Third round pick.
Sure he was. Yeah.
Corey Chavis and David Boston.
Yeah, wide receiver, Ohio State.
My Lord.
David Boston, great. Some of the greatest biceps in football history.
Big man, big wide receiver.
If we do top 10 biceps, is David Boston on it guaranteed?
Geez, yeah, it's got legs on his arm. I mean, legs on his shoulders, yeah.
That's how big
thighs for arms.
Yeah. He's like Tyron Smith wearing like the leg pad on his arm.
Let's spank bank that one. Top 10 biceps in sports.
Okay. What? 7.
Save it for later.
What bank?
What?
Oh, that's you save for later?
Yeah.
Okay.
Just need a little flavor saver.
Gotcha.
7 is the Oilers trade Steve Largent away for nothing.
Oh.
Yeah,
for I guess nothing.
It was Seattle, yeah.
They literally got back an 8th-round pick in 1977. Yeah. This is when I guess we had 12 rounds going
Oopsie.
Down.
I did. I went to the I was involved with the last 12-round draft in 1992.
Was that a 4-day extravaganza?
3-day.
Jeez.
3 days.
Wow, it's a bender. Number 6 is the Bears trading up to draft Mitchell Trubisky.
Oh.
This was bad. Oh, man.
Especially because they're trading up to not take Mahomes.
Yeah. And for a while, Deshaun Watson.
And for a while, Deshaun Watson.
Yeah, John Dorsey was part of this Kansas
They decided
City.
To make Trubisky the top quarterback selected, and he started a year in college. They give up the 3rd pick, which ended up being Solomon Thomas, good player.
Ooh.
A 3rd-round pick, which was cornerback Kilo Witherspoon. Joe Williams, who ended up being a linebacker, and then a 3rd-round pick, which was used to select Fred Warner by the Niners. I think that was a big win
that
for
one,
San Francisco, dude.
Yeah.
So many of these are one-year starting quarterbacks in college.
Yeah. Man. Akili Smith, remember him, Dawson?
Yeah, so bad. Number 5 is the Niners trading up to draft Trey Lance.
One-year starter.
Gave up the 12th pick. Yeah, he was at North Dakota State.
One-year starter,
then it was COVID.
Games.
He played one game the next year. And they didn't play the rest of the season. So, I mean, there really wasn't a lot to go off of there for Trey. Jalen Waddle, Tyreek Hill, Channing Tindall were all players that resulted in being acquired by Miami after the Trey Lance deal. 4 is Baltimore trading John Elway to the Broncos.
Mm, got strong-armed, huh?
Yeah, they did. Yeah, I mean, like, I don't know what they were really supposed to do here. I guess it's just either
just
way, it's a bad trade, and what you got back is terrible. 4th pick in the draft, which they used to take Chris Hinton.
Chris Hinton tackled. It worked out okay for him, though.
He was solid.
Chris Hinton is a Ring of Honor member with the Colts.
Quarterback Mark Herman.
That's a Purdue quarterback that wasn't very good.
And then guard Ron Salt.
See, you're
Ron
just making
Salt.
Up names
he
now.
He played a long time in the league.
Come on, Ronnie.
Ron Salt. Yep. Tackle.
3 is the Broncos trading for Russell Wilson.
Yes, dude.
Oh.
That's bad.
Yeah, bad.
That was like multiple first-round picks?
Yeah.
Multiple second-round picks?
Yeah. It's a long list of players here that they got. I mean, Drew Locke, Noah Fant, Shelby Harris were the players. Then the picks they've used to take Charles Cross, who starts.
Yeah.
Boye Mafe, who's really good. Tyreek Smith, who is a linebacker that I don't know how well he's done. Devin Witherspoon, one of the best young corners in football. And then Derek Hall, who's a linebacker.
Cowboys know this in their history. If you're not going to be good, trading players for picks can really send you forward.
Yeah, isn't that something, huh? Number 2 is New Orleans trading 8 draft picks for Ricky Williams.
Yes, they give up his whole draft.
That is crazy. And the Saints did do that. And I think Mike Ditka, he might do it to this day. He might just say, hey, I loved Ricky so much, I'd do it again if you asked me.
He was doing a bit.
You think so?
Dude, that was the entire, his whole draft.
Entire draft.
And then the next year's first and third.
8 picks.
Oh, crazy. My God.
And then Washington, I mean, the best player they got out of that, they got LeVar Arrington out of it. They got Champ Bailey out of it.
Gosh.
Yeah.
That's pretty good. Champ Bailey was really good.
Pretty damn good. But number one, worst trade in NFL history, or could be the best trade in NFL history, depending on how you look at it.
Herschel Walker.
Great train robbery.
Minnesota Vikings trade 5 players, 8 draft picks for Herschel Walker to the Dallas Cowboys. And the Cowboys turn that into, draft pick-wise, Emmitt Smith.
Ting.
Russell Maryland, Alonzo Highsmith, Kevin Smith, Chris Hall, who is a DB. And they ended up also using it, some of those picks, to trade around in the draft as well. So pretty damn good haul there for the Dallas Cowboys.
Nice
helped
trade.
Build themselves a dynasty there in the 90s. Again, I mean, I don't know why they don't go back to that well, but they're not sellers. I've never seen them be sellers ever since that moment.
It's too bad. Thank you, Woolchuck.
Thank you.
Top 10 at 420 every afternoon here on The Fan. It's time to talk with Mark Schlereth, brought to you by Hellman's Real Mayonnaise. We'll talk with Stink about week 10 of the NFL season next here on The Fan. Yes, sir. Thank you, Lucius. We're now joined by Odyssey NFL insider Mark Schlereth, host of the Stinkin' Truth podcast. Insider calls brought to you by Hellman's Real Mayonnaise. May your game day be delicious. And a good afternoon, Mark. How the heck are you?
I'm doing great. How are you guys doing?
Well, we're doing good. You know, basking in the glory of the NFL trade deadline, trying to get through all the news. And, of course, the Cowboys did something. We want to ask you about that. But let's stay in division with the Commanders and their trade for Lattimore. How much does that help? And how do you handicap them against Philly in the second half?
Yeah, it helps a lot. Now, I think their front seven's still a little bit weak. I think offensively they're really good. And I think one of the things about them, not only scheme, quarterback, all those things, but they can really run the ball, and they're a lot more talented than people think they are. So if I were to look at Philly versus Washington, I would say, just on an overall player for player skill standpoint, Philadelphia is clearly ahead of Washington. But I think when you put the scheme in with what Washington does, they're very tricky. I think Cliff Kingsbury has done a great job out there. And I think one of the things that's really cool about what he's done is, in his 1 year off where he was consulting for USC and kind of doing those things, he really looked critically at himself. And having multiple conversations with him this year, he's just like, listen, man, I had to learn how to run the ball better. I had to learn how to, like, use tight ends. I had to learn how to condense formations. That was something, you know, critically I have to look at myself. And one of the things I did was, you know, hired Anthony Lynn. Or one of the things they did was hired Anthony Lynn, former head coach, a teammate of mine, was a fullback, that really understands and really understands the run game and the value of the run game. And so they coupled that kind of almost air raid offense with a legitimate NFL run game that they've kind of morphed or worked to meld it together. And it's been very dynamic. Defensively, their talent-wise, I think their talent is average. But Marshawn Lattimore, when healthy, is one of the better corners in the league. So I think it really helps them. I would still probably say Philly is my favorite. But listen, if it comes down to coaching decisions, I'll take Dan Quinn over Nick Sirianni every day of the week and twice on Sunday.
That's
so
right.
Like it really tightens it up.
I love it when coaches, you know, talk about learning and being accountable like that. How big of an issue is it with some of these veteran coaching staffs around the league leaning on what they know instead of figuring out what works today with this roster they have?
Well, I think a lot of the older coaches are like totally into kind of morphing and growing and doing all that stuff. The issue that you get into with mixing the young and the old is, like, if you've got a young coordinator, like, that really wants to grow or really wants to become a head coach, you know, it's all about the passing game. And if you develop a young quarterback and you create a big time passing game where you have big time success in that, that's like Viagra to 80-year-old owners. You know, they can't get enough of that. You're getting hired right away. Yeah. And they don't understand the value of actually running the football and being balanced. And I think, you know, one of the big things, Buffalo got rid of a bunch of talented guys, Gabe Davis. They got rid of Stephon Diggs. You know, and everybody said, oh, they're going to have an off year. They're going to drop. And all of a sudden, Joe Brady, you know, has learned and grown in the running game, and they're a more balanced football team. And they're not just pushing around their quarterback anymore and saying, like, when the game is tight in the fourth quarter, they don't just throw it to the quarterback and go win us a game. Like, they remain true to what they're doing right now, and there's value in doing that. You know, you look at you guys, the Dallas Cowboys, I mean, they can't run it. Like, they're not worth a squirt of piss when it comes to running the football. They're awful, and I just called the Tennessee Titans game, and listen, neither of those teams are in a great straight. They're not great at anything, like the Tennessee Titans and the New England Patriots. But let me tell you what, Tony Pollard is a full-grown-ass man that can run the ball. And he's a good player, and he's a three-down player. And I look at you guys without a running back, and I go, well, what was wrong with Tony Pollard? Like, you know, so you look at those things, and a lot of those things, I mean, they matter, and they count for something. So, you know, there's a little mixture. There's it's good. You know what's good to have? It's good to have discourse. It's good to have some arguments. It's good to have two guys that have a little bit different philosophy and can argue about it and then come to some happy medium and figure out how to win. That's good. And I think that's one thing that Dan Quinn's doing in Washington that maybe isn't happening in some other places.
When you look at what the Chiefs did last night and Todd Bowles' decision, the 2-point conversion, were you kind of screaming at your television?
Yeah, I was. I mean, Todd was a teammate of mine in Washington, and he's a very good coach. But, you know, when you come out and say, well, it was raining.
Yeah.
You know, when we wanted to go for halftime, was it raining on the 30? Was it raining in the 10-play, 71-yard drive that you put together to score? Was it raining then, or did it just start raining? It was only raining from the 5-yard line into the end zone, just on that part of the field? Like, don't give me that it was raining. And again, there's some things that you have to look at. Like, you cross the 40 or the 50, you're a defensive coach, so you're not calling the offense. So you should be talking to your analytics guy, talking to the guy that, you know, every head coach has a game management guy. And so you're having those conversations, right? And one, you haven't run a two-point play. I think one of the things that a lot of people don't understand is, think about the 2-point conversion plays. And when I hear analytics people say, well, you should go for two every time. Mm-hmm. I'm like, you guys are idiots. You don't know how it works. So you may have one 2-point conversion play that you love, another one that you like. And then the rest of the plays that you would run down there are just out of base offense. And so you haven't run a 2-point conversion all day. You scored a touchdown, right? So you've got your best play on the docket. And the other thing about 2-point conversions is the only time you run goal line 2-point, like the only time you run that stuff is on Friday. You install and you run it on Friday in shorts and t-shirts. So you've never had a full go rep at any of that stuff. And so I look at it, I understand that, but that's your best play is up there. You haven't run that at all. You haven't run any 2-point conversion plays. If not, then when? You got 27 seconds left. Run it.
Yeah.
Win it right there or lose the game. But at the end of the day, nobody's going to question you at the podium when they say, well, at least you died on that hill. I didn't understand it. Like, one thing you don't want, if you watch the coin toss and you watch Baker Mayfield, once the Chiefs won it, he just rolled his head back, his eyes back, and go, oh, my God, Mahomes gets the ball, it's over.
Yeah.
And everybody knows that. Like, it's one thing, you know, if you know, Geno Smith. I shouldn't say that. It's one thing if, you know, some young quarterback who can't play is you're handing the ball to him in overtime. But it's another thing if you're giving it to Patrick Mahomes. Man, I just don't want Patrick Mahomes to have the ball at the end of the game.
Mark Schlereth, Insider Calls, brought to you by Hellman's Real Mayonnaise. You can purchase Hellman's at your local Walmart, Kroger, or grocery store to add extra deliciousness and creamy flavor to your game day dishes this football season.
Hey, Stink, we had a discussion yesterday on our show about running backs, and you played with some of the best running games in the history of the National Football League. And there's a guy like myself who believes in having, you know, maybe drafting a running back in the first round. And I know you played on some teams that didn't always have a first-round running back, maybe never had a first-round running back. Where do you fall on the importance of maybe drafting a running back in the first round or waiting till the later in the draft?
Yeah, I think the history would show you that you can get running backs, you know, later in the draft, and they can be very productive. You know, there's some guys that are special. Saquon is special.
Yeah.
Derrick Henry is special. There's always a few outliers that are very special, but there are a lot of guys who are damn good running backs who get you draft in the second, third, fourth, fifth round. Like, there's just a bunch of them. History would tell you that that's the way to go. The other thing about the history of the running back position is after 4 or 5 years, most of those guys, you know, there's a few outliers, but most of those guys are no longer very good. They take a beating. And, you know, I always joke around. I picked up a fumble my rookie year and thought I was going to run with it and score a touchdown. That lasted for about 4 steps, and I got hit by about 17 people. They were bringing people off the sideline to hit me. And, you know, I was laying on the ground just going, note to self, don't ever do that again, you dumbass. Like, those guys are angry on the other side of the ball. So that position takes a beating. There's just a different aspect to it. So I'm more on the side of find a guy that you think fits into what you like to do and work that guy in. And I will tell you the other thing is, blitz pickup is something you've got to grow into and you've got to be good at and all that kind of stuff. But from just the standard of just being a running back, like guys that have vision and that have a feel for running the ball, those guys transition very quickly in the National Football League. Receivers usually take a little bit of time, like other positions, quarterbacks and all that. It takes time, but a lot of the young running backs just jump right in and are, from day one, are really good. And it's because if you can just read it and feel it and have a sense of where the blocks develop and how to set blocks up, and like if you've done that in the college game, you've done that in the high school game, it's a transferable skill where a lot of the other positions just don't transfer as quickly. And you know, there's some different stuff that goes on. So I'm one of those that would say, hey man, wait till later rounds and go get a guy.
Thank you so much for your insights, Mark. Have a great week.
You too, guys. Take care.
Salute. Mark Schlereth, Odyssey NFL Insider. Host of the Stinkin' Truth podcast, brought to you by Hellman's Real Mayonnaise. May your game day be delicious. Yes, sir. Okay, it is the G-Bag Nation here on 105.3 The Fan. So much going on today. We'll have more reaction to the Jonathan Mingo trade for you, more NFL trade deadline stories coming up, and in addition to the finest and the expressway. It is a voting a Toxic Tuesday here. LA Live coming up in just about 45 minutes for you. So lock in as our 5 o'clock hour is coming up next. And what are we leading with, Chief?
We got Chris Berman still having his fastball, and Tom Brady just got the most disrespectful comp of all time next year in the nation.
America's favorite place to watch football is Stadium Swim, located at Circa Resort and Casino in Las Vegas. Catch all the biggest games at a viewing experience built for sports fans. Chill in one of their 6 pools on 3 different levels for a perfect view of their massive screen. Plenty of seating options from cozy day beds to private, temperature-controlled cabanas. Stadium Swim. Book your spot today at CircaLasVegas.com.
Getting help for mental health shouldn't be as hard as it is. Mindful Therapy Group is here to make your mental health journey as painless as possible. Mindful partners with thousands of licensed clinicians to find the perfect fit for you, and also accepts insurance. Visit mindfultherapygroup.com.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly!
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Presented by T-Mobile, the official wireless partner of Odyssey Sports. With an awesome network and great savings, there's never been a better time to join T-Mobile. Visit your neighborhood store to make the switch today.
Did you know that VA New England Healthcare provides the very best medical care for our nation's heroes? Did you or a loved one serve this great country? You might be eligible for free healthcare. Find out right now by calling 844-VA-CARES. That's 844-VA-CARES. Or visit the VA website at vacares.us. Look, if you or a loved one served this country, get the healthcare you earned and deserve.